Hello! From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. West Virginia has played 5 games this season. West Virginia has 5 wins this season. And West Virginia has played 5 games, which is substantial because now Chance Moore is allowed to play. And he gets to play in game 6, and so the 5 games before he was eligible, West Virginia didn't lose. And for the first time this season, West Virginia breaks 80 offensively in an 81-59 win over the Lafayette Leopards. And that's 3 straight 22-point wins for the Mountaineers, which seems hard to do with the 3 opponents being the Mountain Hawks, a team, the Pittsburgh Panthers, and then the Lafayette Leopards. Those 3 teams, one seems different than the other 2, but all 3 of those teams got beat by 22 points by the Mountaineers. Don't know, can't guarantee, is West Virginia going to win every game from here on out by 22 points? I'm not going to say that. Had they done it 3 times in a row? Yes, they have. So read into that what you will. But not hard to read into what happened this game. The main headline is we got to watch Honor Huff do things for the Mountaineers that he's only done behind closed doors. In the closed door scrimmage versus Maryland, he went off. He made 10 threes, that was reported. He didn't get 10 tonight, but he was on the path for 10. He finished with 8 and was flirting with WVU's all-time record for most 3 in a game, most 3s in a game, held by Alex Ruoff back in the late 2000s. So he was on pace. He made 8 threes. That was all of his 24 points. So he wasn't getting points from the free throw line tonight. Some of those threes were open looks. He's very good at the pump fake, make you jump, go the other way with a dribble, shoot an open shot. And then some of these were well-guarded shots by the Lafayette Leopards, and he was just making them. That's what it was. And we've seen some a 2-for-10 performance. It's not like he's been shut out from making threes in a game. It's just the percentage has been low. Cut to 5 games into the season and an 8-for-9 from 3 performance. And now Honor is at his average that he finished the season last year. 5 games in, Honor Huff is shooting 42% from 3. And he is a volume shooter. And the volume of shots that went in tonight was substantial. Would I like to see that performance again against better competition? Sure. Would it be great to have something in the middle of what he did in the first 4 games and what he did tonight? That'd be great. But just to be able to see it with doors open, you knew he could do it. It was great to see it. And not in a 90-second video behind closed doors. DJ Thomas is going to get deserved credit for what he did scoring tonight. And he scored a bunch, led the team with 25 points. And that was his 5th game in his college career. But defensively, I thought it was DJ Thomas's best performance of the season. Nothing flashy. He's not hitting shots out of the air hard like Brennan Laurent with his blocks. He's not doing that, but he didn't seem lost in the pick and roll coverage tonight. Stayed in front of his man, contested shots, didn't get any blocks or steals, but was responsible for turnovers and getting his hand in there. And I thought it was his best. Of course, when you have a career high in scoring, it is a great offensive night. That is very obvious. But what gets lost is how good he was defensively tonight and that he's going to continue to get better. And I was impressed there. Brennan Laurent, who didn't score as much tonight, he had 4 assists, and they were all to DJ Thomas. And it was him, people gathering around Laurent, finding an open Thomas on the baseline, and to Thomas's credit, finishing near the rim. Great stuff there from Laurent. Amir Jenkins, the other freshman that's getting substantial minutes and is in the rotation, he had his best statistical night of his college career. Career high in minutes, career high in scoring. He had a career high 5 assists, only 1 turnover. Josh, it's the Lafayette Leopards. So what? When else is a better time for a freshman to gain confidence and to get reps and to set records? Who better to do that against than a team like the Lafayette Leopards? With love and respect to Lafayette, they made tough shots. They shot very well from 3 tonight. They lost by 22, and Amir Jenkins, especially late in the second half, in those last 4 minutes, getting where he wants on the court, dishing to Thomas for a dunk, getting into the lane and finishing. You got to be impressed by the freshmen this season. And I was impressed by the freshmen last season. Overall, and it's a 2-versus-2, it's Powell and Tanner last season, and it's Thomas and Jenkins this season. The edge, 5 games in, goes to this season's roster. Is that recency bias? Yes. Is it bias against the last coach? Yeah, it's not about the coach. It's fine. But we don't have to get into biases. I'm impressed. Let's just leave it at the freshmen have been impressive in the first 5 games. And now things change. Now West Virginia goes away from the Hope Coliseum. And now they get a new guy, a rotation guy. His only season at WVU starts in the next game, and it's Chance Moore, who comes to West Virginia from St. Bonaventure, played also at Missouri State, as well as a cup of coffee in Arkansas. And we saw him in the Wheeling game in an open door exhibition. He was awesome. He does things that other guys on this team does not do. I don't know if he'll get thrown into the starting lineup. It's possible, but he is going to be in the rotation and he is going to play substantial minutes for the Mountaineers. I really like his game, watching it one time with the Mountaineer uniform on in a game that didn't count. West Virginia, for the 3rd straight game, won the rebounding battle. Chance Moore only helps you even more in the rebounding department. He's not the tallest guy, but he is strong. And he gets rebounds on both sides of the floor. He helps you there. He's also another guy that's not a point guard who is strongly committed to attacking the rim. He wants, and he's strong. And guess what? He's getting there. And then it's a matter of, are you going to foul him? Can he finish? One of those things are very possible. I guess he could miss and not get fouled. That happens too. He's going to help on the offensive side. And so then the question is, when you add a rotation guy to a rotation that currently has 8 players, now it jumps up to 9, where does Moore take minutes from the current rotation? And the true answer, it's not a 1-for-1 here. It's not like West Virginia is going to play 8 guys. 1 guy jumps out of the rotation. So because of that, Chance Moore is going to take minutes from almost everybody else. And graciously, Chance Moore will be given minutes from the other guys on this team. This team's unselfish. Ross Hodges talked about this over and over again, how unselfish this team is. And so they're unselfish with who's scoring the ball, and they're going to be unselfish in the minutes department. But we cannot be shocked if he takes a chunk of minutes from Trayson Eagle's staff. Because 5 games into this season, Chase and Eagle Steph is, let's call it struggling. Looking at his facial expressions when they cut to Trayson, most of the time is not joy. We've seen moments of joy. Him making that three in the early second half against Pittsburgh, there was joy. I guess, I mean, he was shushing somebody, but he was excited. Tonight, struggled with the shot. Two open three-pointers. Two three-pointers that were not close to going in. One was an air ball. Yes, completely different role for Trayson Eaglestaff on this Mountaineer team than what he was tasked to do at North Dakota prior to coming to Morgantown. And he's not expected to carry the scoring load for this team. He's finding his way. It is a different role, and that takes adjusting. I get it. But tonight, after five games, four of those games, Trayson has scored less than 10 points. And when you look at what he did at North Dakota last season, he only had three single-digit scoring games over the entire season. And we're 2 weeks in, five games in, and it's already happened to him four times. He just doesn't look comfortable yet. And so I would guess Eaglestaff will feel that the most. But more, it's not a trade-off that Moore goes in, Eaglestaff disappears. They could play together on the floor. I could see that happening. Chance Moore plays multiple positions. He can play small ball four. So he's going to take minutes from multiple guys, Ugasugs. I think Hodge, the way Thomas is playing, because we're going to have another guy jump in the fray in Jackson Fields. You've got DJ Thomas out there scoring 25 in a game. Is he just going to find the bench? Or is Ross Hodge, who, again, in two seasons at North Texas, didn't have a deep bench, will he go 10 guys this season? That's a discussion for a different time. He's definitely going to play nine. I really feel that. And so we're not going to see a lot of Forsyth minutes outside of the Mississippi Valley States and the Coppin States. But once Big 12 play rolls around, Forsyth disappears, and then it becomes a question of how much we're going to see Thomas. We're seeing Jenkins, barring injury, for the rest of the season in the rotation. But Chance Moore makes this team better, even if that might not be a smooth transition. Guys are going to have to adjust. Rotations are going to adjust. Those are good problems to have. And again, Moore can be out there with Eaglestaff. And the way Moore plays, he can drive, and that can lead to Trayson cutting, getting shots close to the rim, getting confidence that opens up his perimeter game. And maybe those guys with Moore as another guy out there creating can get Trayson in a spot where he's improving. Moore can help Trayson Eaglestaff, even if he can help him while also taking some minutes from him as well. Is the timing ideal that you're throwing an ingredient into the mix in a game away from Morgantown against the best competition, according to the computer, on the season? I mean, it's not ideal. You would like a game like tonight for Chance to be out there and kind of figuring out how he's going to fit in on this team. But to say whenever he jumps into the fray, that's good for the long-term prospects of this 2025-2026 season. And he makes the ceiling better. He has 8 non-conference games to find his role, get this team better, because Big 12 play is approaching. And as it is every year, it's going to be brutal. And to get this guy into the mix, it is a good thing, and I'm excited to see it.
The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. I'm looking at my computer at Uncommon Goods. You type in West Virginia University. They got cool stuff, WVU themed. I've got the can-shaped glasses. They're my favorite glasses to drink out of. They've got a College Town wall sculpture, a stadium lights end table, super cool stuff, unique, one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Shout out to the women's team. They beat number 15 Duke at the Greenbrier 57-49 on Friday night. And you probably heard the story at this point because it got national coverage. But West Virginia finished this game, the second half, with 5 available players. So no substitutions. 6 Mountaineer players got ejected close to halftime. One of them was Jordan Harrison. A Blue Devil screamed in her face after she got a defensive stop at the end of the half. It felt aggressive. Jordan Harrison did not take kindly to the screaming in her face. And so that Duke Blue Devil got multiple neck shoves. Because Jordan Harrison, she's small in stature, but I wouldn't mess with her. And she stood her ground. And that involved neck pushing. And during the neck shoving, 5 Mountaineer bench players ran onto the floor and were ejected for that. You can't do that. So the visuals in that second half of only 5 players per WVU available, they're all on the court. The camera pans to the sideline. There's only coaches and support people on the bench. No ladies in jerseys. WVU was down 3 at the half and then proceeded to outscore Duke by 15 in the third quarter. Riviere, who was amazing in that third quarter, played multiple minutes with 4 fouls. If she would have got her 5th, they would have played with 4 ladies. They didn't have to go there. West Virginia hung on late, sealed the win. Did I watch from beginning to end live? I did not. But checking my phone and seeing, are you watching this and watching the Smoking Musket Discord and people talking about it, caught a good bit of the fourth quarter, watched them grit it out. Coach Kellogg was fantastic. He was pumped in that fourth quarter, and especially after the final whistle. That performance got West Virginia into the top 25. Such an amazing night for the team. In the season after J.J. Quinterly goes pro and all those other ladies graduate, what was this season going to be like? If they don't do anything else, this will be something that will always be remembered. That time they went to the Greenbrier and upset Duke with 5 eligible players in the second half. Great stuff. Congrats to the ladies team on a memorable performance.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord.
Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. On the guys' side, the next game, as I mentioned, for WVU is the first game away from Hope Coliseum. They're going south. They're going to beautiful Charleston, South Carolina for the Charleston Classic. West Virginia's played in the Charleston Classic before. This decade, it was four seasons ago. And they played four seasons ago against a school they'll play on Friday in the Charleston Classic, 6:30 p.m., ESPN2. The opponent for the Mountaineers are the Clemson Tigers. And the Clemson Tigers are good at basketball. They come into this game with a 4-1 record. Their only loss was at Georgetown road game, their only road game of the season. Looking at the stats, this team doesn't turn the ball over. They're really good at offensive rebounding. I said that about Pitt. Clemson's even better at offensive rebounding. And they're able to do that because they have 2 6'10" guys on the floor quite a bit. Most of the game, you'll see 2 6'10" guys. And at some points, you'll see 3 6'10" guys out there. So lots of size. Stats are pretty balanced on offense and defense. With all those 6'10" guys, Clemson still shoots a bunch of threes. They're averaging over 30 three-point attempts a game. They haven't shot the three well yet, but they're chucking them. And for a comparison, West Virginia has not allowed an opponent to shoot more than 21 threes in a game this season. And Clemson likes to play slow too. So this is a slow tempo game. Can WVU hang with Clemson on the boards? Can they defend the three? And West Virginia, not great defending the three tonight. Worst performance as far as three-point percentage. Lafayette made 10 threes tonight. If West Virginia can hold Clemson to under 10 threes made, and they hang around on the rebounding, in the rebounding department, I think they give themselves a chance to advance to the Charleston Classic Final against the winner of Georgia or Xavier. Will that happen? We'll see. I'm obligated to tell you that 4 years ago when West Virginia played Clemson, Brad Brownell's Clemson team was assessed a technical foul in a close game late because there were 6 Clemson Tigers on the court. And I haven't seen that before then, I don't think, and I definitely haven't seen it since then. Will it happen on Friday? That would be shocking. It'd be like on a positive side, winning the lottery twice. In a negative way, well, just think of something in your head that doesn't happen with frequency that makes you feel like you're unlucky. So I'd be shocked if they do that again. But can Coach Brownell draw up something goofy on Friday that can be memorable? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Pocket Cast Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season, they have 5 wins and they have 0 losses.